Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning.
Oh, my goodness. What a wonderful, wonderful day it is. Beautiful in the Gulf Coast. We'll give a shout-out this morning to Barbara. Had a wonderful stay at the Secret Place at the VFN Hub. Oh, my goodness. You're going to get her back. Texas, she's going to come back to you. The gift that she is to the body of Christ is headed your way. We miss you already. We're praying that traveling angels.
Love you, Barbara.
Go with you, Barbara. Give a shout out this morning to all the Christians who are standing up for righteousness in America. It is so good to see all the ones that are in the streets saying, listen, we're not coming against you. We're just saying we've got to do what's right before our God. God bless you. Stand strong. The Lord's eyes go to and fro, seeing who will stand for him. Give a shout out to all of our Facebook listeners out there. Don't forget, you can like us at go to VFNTV.com and just follow our Facebook. You can follow us there and follow us also on our Twitter account, VFNTV1. For those that are heading to work this morning, I want to encourage you on your drive. Remember, the eyes of the Lord are upon you. He sings over you. He records all your good deeds. And if you repent, he actually forgives all those ones we really don't want to talk about. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
I'm telling you know what, Pat, it is just such a pleasure to come every morning and to be able to encourage all of our listeners. You know, we hear so many voices that are just constantly telling us, you know, reality, potentially, you know, and some of it's not.
Right.
And, but they don't, there's no reprieve, there's no Selah. It's like, yeah, but God, you know. I mean, even David would talk about, you know, all these things, but then he would go, Selah, you know, pause for a moment and think, and then he goes, but God.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, there are some, you know, of us that have a tendency to just go, you know, I'm not going to look at reality. You know, while reality is hitting him in the face, right? It's like, do you see that bug on your windshield? That's reality. But God, right?
Right, exactly.
It's totally awesome. So I encourage you this morning, you know, no matter what you're facing, no matter what's coming your way, I mean, don't hide from the reality. Abraham faced the facts. I mean, he looked at the reality, but it didn't mean he didn't have faith if he looked at the facts. It just meant despite everything that he saw, he didn't waver in his unbelief that God was able to do what he said he could do. You know, God is just looking for us just to believe him.
Yeah.
You know, he says to Galatians, says, do I do all this amongst you because you obey some law or because you believe?
Right.
Yeah, you know, like with Joyce Meyer, she says, we have a whole big church of unbelieving believers.
That's a contradiction.
Yeah, it actually is. It's a nullified contradiction, isn't it? You know, and so I want to encourage you, just believe that, you know, God's plans are good towards you today. You know, believe that he has plans to bless you and to prosper you, to make you a sign and a wonder right now in the midst of all this dark times and things that are going, that it'll be like Goshen, you know, where God's prepared a place for you. Even though you may be living in the same address, you may be having the same job, you know, somehow, you know, God is just going to take care of you. And that's, you're going to be assigned. So you need to be ready. And that's what VFN Radio is about, and VFN TV and the VFN family, is to prepare you to be ready, you know, when they start asking the question, you know, how come you have such peace in the midst of all this? And how come you have a light just shining, you know, it seems to be glowing on your home or your family or your situation or what you're going through? And be ready to tell them that it's God, you know, that God, his hand is upon you, and that, yeah, you go through things as well. But even sometimes we're going through things and then the light's not necessarily shining, you know, on our homes or our jobs or situations, but still we have peace in the midst of all that. And it's just really strange to an unbeliever to see somebody that's actually in the same food line, or somebody that's in the same unemployment situation, or the same, you know, they went through a divorce, or they went through the situation, and yet you're just sitting there just kind of peaceful and joyful. You know, I'll never forget, you know, when I left my job with the sheriff's department. You know, I left because God was calling me out, but my perspective of leaving was that I needed to have more income, because I had my oldest daughter was going to a private school at that time. I was sending her to Pensacola Christian School, Aunt Megan, and I was working all these side jobs. You know, I had to I'd go to work from my regular job on the streets, and you'd work 10-hour days, which would really end up being 12 or 13 hours, because you can't unarrest somebody.
He's right.
Like, it's time for me to go home, so, you know, just throw the drugs away. I'm going home. You know,
Right.
And I had to ride home in my cruiser, so I took my car home, and it's like the world fell apart. You know, you had to put blinders on just to get home to go to bed. Mm-hmm. And I remember one time I worked so many hours. I was just like a zombie, man. It's dangerous, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to realize, you know, if you have officers that have the take-home plan in your community, in your city, and they take their cruisers home because they say sometimes it's the best way to maintain a car, he or she could be tired, you know, and even though they're in the car, they're actually going to then to get rest. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so finally, at this long night, you know, probably was, you know, at the jail all night booking suspects, innocent people, and no suspects. And I was coming back, and when I got back to my home, you know, I got out of my cruiser. It's all I remember is getting out of my cruiser, and I'm in bed. Uh-huh. And about the next, you know, I worked a midnight shift, I guess, because it was the daytime when I was sleeping. And then somebody knocks on my door, and they tell me, I just want to let you know your cruiser door has been open.
Oh, no.
Shotgun, you know, radios and all that stuff.
Oh, no.
God totally looked after me in that. I was just so tired, you know, just endless hours, yeah, you know, of you know, drug interdiction and all these different things that we do and I did. They're still doing it in law enforcement. And I was just so tired, man. God protected that situation. Oh, isn't that crazy?
That is something.
That is crazy, man. So get your rest. Anyway, so I'm leaving job. I find another job. I'm actually working as a deputy. But I go out and try to find another job to supplement my income. I mean, I just hated doing side jobs. Because mm-hmm. you just sit there. Mm-hmm. Remind me to tell you about, I'm not going to interrupt myself because I'll forget, but about the time that we had this, you know, pallet full of marijuana and we were,
okay.
Yeah, I got to tell you about that.
All right.
I'm not good at just sitting there. Anyway, so, well, it was because I was in law enforcement, you know, I would say that, you know, when we had the pallet full of marijuana, it wasn't Pat's. No, and then, so I found this other job and it was selling alarm systems. You know, when you worked burglaries for years, you can really describe really well what it's like. And there's nothing worse to be burglarized, you know, to be somebody to come in your property, you know, go through your stuff. You know, if it's never happened, you know, you can think you can relate to it, but when it's happened to you, you just feel violated. Mm-hmm. You know, you just feel, and spiritually speaking, you know, they brought in a spirit in your home. You got to mm-hmm. pray over your home and get that out of your home is what's happened. But, and so I was selling alarms. I was pretty good at selling alarms, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, I thought, well, this sounds good. I guess I just got to leave this job that I loved. I mean, I really liked being the police. It was just really nice. And it wasn't for the money, obviously. and so I started working full-time for this alarm company. Yeah, I had about 8-9 years, almost 10, with law enforcement. I just set it aside, you know, because I wanted my oldest daughter to be able, I wanted her to be able to go get this education and me not working all these hours. And You're trying to be a good father. And so I find out, you know, as I'm selling these, and it's good money. I'm making really good money. In our particular area region, it was good. And I find out that this company I'm working for, you know, the reason why I'm making such good money is because they're overcharging for their product. You know, I talked to my cousin in Atlanta, who is a distributor for some of the products that they use. And he goes something, I'm exaggerating now. And he's talking to him. He said, yeah, man, you can get that for a dime. You know me, I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm taking advantage of people. This is terrible. And I'm just like in this, you know, quagmire of, I don't know, what do I do? Then I went and there was a particular lady that needed her window armed or something, because somebody already went there and armed her whole house, but they didn't put wires or something on a window, and they're just trying to be cheap or whatever. Mm-hmm. But her window, I mean, if, you know, your chain is only as strong as your weakest link, so she had a window that wasn't armed. Mm-hmm. And so I called them. I said, listen, we got to, you know, get this lady's window armed. And they said, well, it's going to cost her, and this high figure, dollar figure. I thought, this is just, I said, you know, I just said, God, you know, I can't. I just can't. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to do this. I looked at them. I've resigned my job as my, you know, the stable thing, you know. Yeah. You remember the fire department situation? Well, we won't talk about that. And so then, as I'm without my sheriff's job, I am without my, I'm fixing to leave, and I have such peace. Mm-hmm. I have such peace. They're looking at me like I'm crazy because they thought they'd have me because they pulled me in, you know, I was getting paid really well, and they thought that money had me, you know, and what had me was God and my family. I wanted to provide for my family. And so I said, well, this is my 2 weeks notice, you know, I'm not going to be working here anymore. And they just couldn't believe it. They just stared at me, you know, and just would say all these different things, and I would just laugh. I mean, when you, it's nothing better to be at a place where you have no options.
Mm-hmm.
It's options, you know what I'm saying, that wear you out. You know, give me a menu with one thing on it, and that's what I want.
Right.
You know, and think about, well, anyway. So here I am, you know, I've resigned my job at the sheriff's department. I left this high paying job, you know, because it just wasn't right. And I just begin to just, God, here I am. You know, I have family. I have, you know, a house, you know, all these responsibilities, and I needed to find work. So I just began to pray and seek the Lord, and I made getting a job my job, you know, and two things that I did. You know, one thing that I did was to, you know, work 40 hours a week, obviously without pay, of seeking, creating my own business. There's something we have special in America that you can actually have your own business in America. You know, so many people are trying to go find to work at somebody else's business. They never consider there's two probabilities. There's that probability. You can work for someone else, but you can start your own business. A lot of people that started their own business, they did that because nobody would hire them,
right.
You know, and it ended up, you know, starting my own. Well, actually, you know, this is what happened. So I'm praying and I'm telling you this so that you can just be calm in the midst of all the things that are going on. Really, I left a 10-year career, you know, and I also had the military time. I could have actually had this locked in, you know, retirement type situation. I left, you know, I don't know, $8,000 a month job or something at that time was very good, you know, and I was making something like, $800 to $1,000, $1,200 a sell.
Mm-hmm.
Highly overpriced. Didn't know it to my, to my cousin. And little did I know it was going to end in a test, you know, I'm going to trust God. And so, as I'm seeking the Lord and looking at these opportunities, I have somebody that comes to me. Her name is Kim. I mean, she might be one of our listeners. I know she's actually on our Facebook and, you know, a friend of ours. You know, Kim brings me her business because she was going to help. I was going to help her sell her business. So I said, yeah, I'd help you sell your business. And so she brought over, you know, her business, you know, and I'm going to help her sell it. You know, I'm not planning on taking it on or nothing, you know. And just real nice lady. I mean, Kim's very, very sweet. And so she brings it to me, and I said, okay, I'll get back with you. I looked over the business, and it was a plastic fabrication company. What is that, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I started looking it over, and I realized, man, this business is making money, mm-hmm. you know? And the management, you know, issues in the company wasn't going too well, and most businesses fell. You know, 70% of businesses that do fail because of management you know, mm-hmm. issues and being able to manage it. And it's really tough. If you've never managed a business before, it's really tough. It's better to work in the field for a while mm-hmm. and then take a few classes in organizational behavior and business management and things of that nature, or go to VFNU you learn.
In a hurry.
And so I think, my goodness, this thing, you know, it's making money. If it's run right, you know, this is good. And so I said, I'm gonna put together an offer for this business, you know. And I put together an offer for the business, and I said, you know, it was this a particular dollar figure with like 10% interest. And so I presented it to the business owner, and I said, you know, I'm interested in it. I like this. This is good. And you understand, I wasn't even pursuing that, mm-hmm. but I was making getting a job, mm-hmm. which is two aspects. I looked at getting in business for myself, and I'm looking at job opportunities for that, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm also looking at, you know, working for other people. And so with that, you know, she looks me square in the face and she says, no. And I'm thinking, well, she's not going to do that. Right. You know? And I said, well, that's pretty cool. You know? And so I went ahead and continued to do what I was doing. And she comes back to me like maybe the next day or something. And she says, I have something I want to offer you about it. I said, okay. I'm thinking, you know, here, you know, bigger prices, bigger whatever. And I was willing to listen to it, you know, seeing that I didn't have
another option.
Oh, yes. You know? And bless her heart, she says, I want to give it to you for the same dollar figure with no interest.
Wow.
And that's where, you know, Creative Acrylics, my company, was still going today.
Yeah.
You know, that I formed that business, but God brought that business to me. If I wouldn't be willing to take the journey, mm-hmm. then I never would have had the rewards.
That's right.
And so many people are just in a rut, and a rut is a grave with both ends kicked out. Mm-hmm. And they complain about going to work as if somebody comes to their house, takes duct tape, tapes their hands up, throws them in a van, and holds their kids hostage until they get back from work. And it's like, it's an opportunity. They're hiring you. You know, they're paying you for your services. And God tells us, you know, in God's perspective of this in Ephesians chapter 6, that we're to submit to our bosses as unto the Lord, even when they're not looking. Mm-hmm. And so so God, you know, gives me this business. And it just was totally amazing. Didn't have a clue, you know, how to run it, but eventually I did. And hiring people up and went through a lot of processes in that. I remember my first, it's a plastic fabrication company. My first big job was a job that was in Destin, Florida, and I was going to make a fish aquarium. I mean, it's a box. It's a box. How hard could that be, right? And I'm making it out of, you know, acrylic. And so it is like a half inch or, you know, probably a half inch, you know, which is pretty, I didn't realize how significant that was until I bought a whole bunch of it later on. And I was putting all this stuff, you know, sides, and you weld these pieces together and, you know, all these different things. And then the drum roll came. I'm thinking, will this hold water? Because it's not like a house somewhere else. It's a house in Destin. And they're going to put it in the wall, and you're thinking, it's going to cost me $10 million for this thing. Bus is going to go all over that place, right?
Yeah.
And I'll never forget how excited I was, because I couldn't figure out how these welds could hold water, because I could see air coming through them, you know.
Yeah.
And I put water in it, and I probably have a picture of that. I got to find that. And I put water. I was so proud that thing held water, you know. And, yeah, it was a paying job. And I appreciated every single job the Lord gave me. You know, when you own your own business, you can relate better to how God is providing for you. Mm. I had customers that drove for miles to get to me. And they would do business with me. Mm. And I had other customers that just seemed to never go away.
Yeah, right.
How much would it cost me just to, you know, because they couldn't satisfy. It was so tough to satisfy. I was like, I just found out how to do this job yesterday.
All right.
But I just want to encourage you that you can have peace in the midst of all this stuff. I practiced what I'm talking about. You know, I practiced this. And you truly, God's going to take care of you if you believe. Your faith is your shield. If you have no faith, you have no shield. If you have no shield, you have no protection. Remember, God does these miracles amongst us, it's because you believe him. You believe he's good, and he rewards those who diligently seek him. You draw near to God, and he draws near to you. I mean, he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So I want to encourage you, begin to change your perspective, even though you're hearing things. That's why we want you to listen to the news on VFN Radio, so you find out God's perspective. We're not going to bury our head in the sand of denial. I mean, we're going to talk about things, but we're going to talk about God's perspective of it, you know? And so we'll be right back in just a moment, as we're going to be talking about some things that are taking place, and also today, the wisdom moment. I want to continue talking about the kingdom of God. He uh-huh. says, when you're born again, the very first thing you do is seek first the kingdom of God. You know, and that's the king's dominion in your life, taking over parts of your life. And then when he tells you us to go out, and he tells us all to go out, it's mm-hmm. You don't pray if you should go. You need to pray if you should stay. And by mm-hmm. the way, I can tell you what he's probably going to say right now.
Yeah.
Because think about it. He allowed the church, the original church, the original intent of God in Jerusalem, because we have a tendency. We all have a tendency as human beings. Mm-hmm. We just kind of gravitate towards comfort and convenience and predictability and what makes our flesh feel good. Mm-hmm. And the church is kind of hung around in Jerusalem. You know, they hung around Jerusalem. It's like, well, the goal, the original intent of Jesus is to go out into all the world. You know, Jerusalem, Judea. Hello, is somebody talking about Judea, right? I don't like Judea out there. I like Jerusalem. You know, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts. And so in that, you know, they just kept staying. And so God allowed persecution to come to the church. And how you know he allowed it is because they ran the church off, but for some reason they didn't run the apostles off. So the apostles still stayed in Jerusalem. If you're going to try to stop a nation, if you're going to try to stop something, you're going to go for the leadership. But the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. And remember when Paul went back, he went back to the Christian Jews in Jerusalem and asked for wisdom about what's happening out in the outskirts and what was going on in the Samaria and the uttermost parts. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, they had to be persecuted, Pat. Mm-hmm. They had to be persecuted to go out. I mean, that's how much God's into going out and spreading his kingdom. He says that when you go, when I send you out, I want you to preach the kingdom of God and preach that the kingdom is near you. And when they receive Jesus as their king, as their Lord, as their Savior, and they say, I want him to be the Lord of my life, then at that point, the kingdom has expanded. It didn't expand when you built a wing on your building. It didn't expand when you actually got a new staff member. Mm-hmm. It didn't expand when, you know, you read more scripture that day. It expanded when you told somebody about the king, and they said, oh my goodness, and they say, I know, and they receive him, and then the kingdom expanded from your heart to their heart, and now both of you guys are carrying the kingdom of God. We're like kingdom containers. Mm-hmm. That's the original intent. The original intent is for everybody to hear, everybody to be given an opportunity to receive the king and his kingdom and to begin to seek his kingdom. And then we're out of here because our king is coming back, King of kings and Lord of lords, and we're going to live with him forever. And if you're thinking it's about a building, if you're thinking it's about a stuff or the next song or your talent, you know, or your gift, listen, it's about you going to tell somebody about this King Jesus, that he loves them and he has a plan for their life and that he can forgive them and he can restore them and that there's hope and understanding that you need to seek his ways. And I'm going to encourage you, even though that you've been around, you know, the church for many years, you know, you've been around other believers, you may need to go back and find out the original intent. You need to get discipled.
Right.
You need to get discipled. You need to begin to abide with God. And you can do that. You can go to iAbide and request a free plan. We have a simple plan for you. If you don't have one already, go to iabide.org and request it. Immediately, it will come to you. And we have some basic foundational tools for you. First of all, you can just start hanging out with God and abiding. We have even a video how to do it, you know, real mm-hmm. simple. But then there's also discipleship. There's some Foundations of Faith booklets that you can get that begins to build. Because you've been around for a long time, you think you're supposed to know something. But there's people that graduated from high school that couldn't even read. Mm-hmm. So just because they went to high school don't mean they have an education. Just because you've been hanging around the church doesn't mean you've been discipled. And we're finding out over the years that people have hung around for years but don't even know the basic Jesus as Lord. Mm-hmm. And so be willing to say, you know what? I'm going to go back and get the foundation again because I have not even thought about going out and advancing the kingdom of God. I never thought about rightly relating that I am the church and that I need to go be the church and the word of God applies to me and not just to a building organization or that type of thing. So I want to encourage you, the kingdom of God, looking at the original intent of the church. You know, when we first started trying to articulate, you know, what God was doing with us, you know, we thought, you know, how do you explain God? I mean, how do you explain family? How do you because it's just kind of hard. The paradigm shift is so huge from going to church to being the church, you know, from that building being the temple of God to us being the temple of God. And then in families, really family, you know, Jesus said when his mother Mary was outside and his brother was outside knocking on the door because they thought he lost his mind because he was ministering actually in a house. He was. And to his disciples, and they were coming to rescue him because he hadn't eaten. They were going to rescue God, John. They were going to rescue God. And that he hadn't eaten in a, you know, a couple of days. And they just knew because that was their family. They thought, that's my family. That's my relative in there. So he'll actually come out. And so somebody tells Jesus, he says, you know, your mother and your brother's outside wanting to talk to you. And he goes, who is my mother? This is God speaking through his son, Jesus Christ, right? He said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? And today's church will say, the people knocking on the door.
Right.
But that's not what he said. He said this. He said, those who do the will of my Father, when he was looking at his disciples sitting in front of them. We've got to recapture again the understanding of the family of God, because the truth is, that if we really love our family, we're going to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ, because if they don't know Jesus Christ, they're not going to make it into the family of God and into eternity in heaven. And so we want them to be able to make it. But, you know, we try to come together, try to come out a way to explain that. We did that with the Vine seminars, you know, that we first had a Vine seminar to be able to explain us, to take us from these mindsets of realizing that we have an awesome King and God who loves us, and he wanted family, and to that we are the ark of God, and God's presence dwells with us, and it's just awesome thing of activation, and it's an exciting thing. The Vine seminar is about, you know, Vine Fellowship Network, but also it's just grown into other seminars as well. And so if you want to find out more about Vine seminars, from marriage to personality, from, you know, what it's like just to be the church, you know, maybe you can glean from it, go to vineseminars.org. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and with me in the studios is Pat Hamilton. What a wonderful, wonderful first half hour. We're getting to, building our attention and our direction on having faith in God in the midst of difficult circumstances, and realizing, you know, just because that's happening to everybody else does not mean that has to happen to us. And just because that's how they're reacting to what we're all going through, maybe we're going to go through it, that God will be with us and bring us through the fire. Mm-hmm. If we're in a lion's den, they're just not going to bite us. If we're in the fiery furnace, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we have to enter it this way. Well, I'm not going to bow down to your God. Mm-hmm. And our God can deliver us, but even if he don't, you know, I'm just not going to serve your God. And he was saying James 4:15, you know, he's saying, if it's in the Lord's will, it's how it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. He didn't say it's just going to happen this way. It's like, man, if you want to eat spiritual crow, right, that's one way you do it. Cause the truth is, you know, we're involved in God's story and his plan and his narrative. And I'm just grateful to be a part, you know, some small part in what he's actually doing. I want to make sure I do what I was called to do and take nothing off the field. And when I go to be with him, is that not exciting?
Oh yeah.
To be with him forever. You know what I'm saying? You know, gold streets and the crystal glass sea and the glory of God and the river of God and the trees of life and just to hear in the story. If you have not heard the highlights, you can have highlights at VFNTV.com, you know, little segments that came from previous VFN radio shows, but also on your application that you can get at your Google Play?
Right, for the Android.
Yeah, for your Android phones, go to your Android store and download VFNTV. I think you search for it there and it comes, you can download it. But either way, you know, it's 90 minutes in heaven. You know, that's where we're going. You know, this is just like premarital counseling, you know. Mm-hmm. We're the bride of Christ. He's given us a new name. We've taken on his name. We've denied ourselves when we're following our bridegroom, Jesus. And his grace kind of fixes stuff. Praise the Lord for his grace.
Amen.
You know, and I just want to encourage you with that God is good. God is faithful. And this life and his momentary afflictions and things that we're going through is small in comparison to the glory that's set before you as a believer. You know, put your hope in things eternal. Put your hope in heaven, you know, in heavenly places. You're looking for a city not built with hands, you know, and then that way you can go through some stuff. Hey, Pat, I don't know if you know this or not, but the birds, remember the birds that, that were in the flower pot?
Yeah.
You know, the hanging
plant. The fake one?
Yeah, the fake one, right? It's hanging on the, then Donna took a picture of it or whatever. It's on the VFN TV blog. But we just, we just posted another aspect of that because now they've hatched.
Oh, cool.
And these little chicks are so cool. You can go to our VFN TV blog at VFNTV.com and click on the VFN blog right there, VFN TV blog. And see it. You got to see them. And remember, you'll see the first videos there too, and they'll be on the top. And the one below it is the one where they're already hatched already, and they they're filling the nest out, and they're just sitting there with their mouths wide open, saying feed me," like a teenager.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't want to miss that, you know. Well, today's wisdom. We want to, you know, the wisdom moment. We always focus one time during the day. We want on the wisdom moment of all things. Give us wisdom, God. You help us to have wisdom on how to apply the knowledge that we're gaining in you and in life. And so today's the 21st of the month. So we're going to look at, you know, Proverbs 21. And two verses in Proverbs 21 I want to look at. It's 21:1 and 21:30. It's so important because, let me read it first. It says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord." Think about that. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He, which is God, directs it like the water course wherever he pleases. Think about that. And then in verse 30, he says, "There is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord." I mean, you put those two nuggets of foundational wisdom together. And you look at how we're approaching, when you're seeing the church in America, how the church is approaching things, not realizing that, you know, he gives us the very air that we're breathing. But, you know, we look to so many things in the world and even worldly leaders, and we're trying to get them to do something. And God's going, "Listen, dude, I hold their heart in my hand. The fact that it beats one more time is I allow it to beat. And I direct their heart, their decisions, what they do, just like a river is directed. I do that. God does that. And there's no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against mine," the Lord's telling us. So what does that mean? That means we're really approaching this thing from the wrong direction. Many people who profess to be believers and Christians in America who want to see things different, it's good that want to see things different and more godly and conservative government and all those different things. But the thing about it is our present leaders that we have came from amongst us. They didn't come from some foreign land. They actually are us. You know what I'm saying? And you know, we got what we asked for, but we don't like what we've gotten, is what they said. It's what John Paul Jackson said.
All right.
And so in that, we have to understand that if God holds the king's heart or the president's heart or the prime minister's heart or your governor's heart or your husband's heart or your father's heart or your apostle's heart or the leadership's heart in their hand, think about it, in his hand, and he directs it the way that he directs a river, and it doesn't matter really what they're doing, because even if it seems to be coming against the things of God, it won't succeed. Then it seems like we just need to please the one whose hand's holding that person's heart.
Right.
And we don't need to focus on the man with the heart. We need to focus on the God who has that heart in his hand.
Right.
You know, when we try to do things ourselves, you know, we're trying to be God. We're trying to force righteousness, which is really a religious spirit, right?
Right.
And if you didn't hear yesterday, I mean, you can see on the highlights that where Chuck Pierce prophesied about America and said that, you know, America's locked up. And the governments of the world are locked up. The governments of America is locked up. In other words, it just seems stuck. And if you really think about it, it just seems kind of some purgatorious type thing going on. It's just like, somebody lead. And and he said, because of the church has a religious spirit, and it won't shift its government. It won't shift its mantle. it won't go to the new wineskin and what he's wanting to do in this generation, which we believe is back to his family again, an apostolic government, and we're called to be family. And you got to give up, you know, all of man's traditions and mm-hmm. philosophies that have set aside the commands of the Lord. If we set aside the commands of the Lord, then we're actually, it's called apostasy. We're saying we're leaving God's ways and we're teaching people, you know, our ways, for example. And we can't do that, but we can repent and say, you know what? Even I don't care if I lose, you know, all this stuff that philosophies and traditions hold together. All I want is God, and as if he's not enough, you know, as if you can add to him.
Right.
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 And so, and think about it. He has, the king or the president's or prime minister's heart in his hand, actually in his hand. And we're trying to so often convince a person and people to do stuff while we're totally neglecting God and his ways and his commands. And so wisdom says this: don't panic about what a man is doing. Panic if you've left the ways of God. Panic if you said that you can do it over God doing it. Panic when you actually came in unity with somebody who's not in unity with God in the name of the country versus doing what's right before God. You gave up God's lordship in your heart, Jesus' lordship in your heart, just so you could have some sort of, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And today you see religions combining, you know, versus, you know, people, you know, e pluribus unum, you know, though we're many, we're one. Those are Americans, but we're not mixing gods here. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? If you're a soldier and the soldier next to you is fighting with you and he's American and you're an American, that's wonderful. But if he starts telling you, hey, this is my God and you need to accept my God, then you're going to say, well, it's like we're going to die because I'm not going to accept your, you know.
Right.
That's
right.
Not going to do it, right?
Right.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so if he's holding the president's hand, for in our case, it would be a president, and other countries it's prime ministers, and others it's kings, and others is, you know, it's just real evil dudes. And and he's holding their hands and directing it. That means he is fastening a storm against us right now.
Mm-hmm.
God is directing. He is actually, we're being led into captivity. You know, we could still be America, but also we could have so many regulations. We can have so many things like, when Israel went from Samuel to Saul, and you can find out about this. This is available, you know, at vfntv.com and on your application. It's called SOS. We talk about that, the Tale of Two Kings. But it's when, you know, we turn away from the one who's holding the king's heart. And he says, pray for those in authority over you, that you may have a peaceful life. You know, all authority is established by God, and those who rebel against it rebel against what God's established. And so, and understanding that we can pray for them, and they'll even show us favor, even if they're an evil king, even if they're an evil, you know, prime minister, even if they're an evil president, or they're an evil, you know, if their person's evil in authority over you, realize we still, you know, pray for them. You know, with us, you know, we've prayed, getting back to America again, we pray for our leaders continually, mm-hmm. and we pray for 24 hours on Monday. I mean, we don't pray for 24 hours, but we take, you know, prayer watches for 3 hours, and then we pass those watches off. And so we have 24 consecutive hours of what we call harp and bowl ministry. Revelations 5:8 says that these bowls that are before God are filled with the prayers of the saints. Is that awesome?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
So you can help fill those bowls, that he will pour those bowls back out as answered prayer as we agree with him on the face of the earth, which is pretty cool. So I want to encourage you, the word of wisdom this morning is, you know, change your perspective on how you're praying for your leader. You know, change your perspective on how you're praying. You're not, you know, praying for our president and praying for our legislature branch, praying for, you know, our Supreme Court. Realize that in your authority, whether it's your boss, whether it's the parents in your household or your husband, whether it's, you know, your church government, you know, whatever it is, begin to change your perspective and realize that God can do whatever he wants to do with that person's heart. He's directing it like a course, and doesn't matter what they're doing, their plans will not succeed against God's plans. Even though their plans may seem like it's going to succeed, God will allow things to happen. You know, he'll allow things that are out of control to bring us in control. Mm-hmm. And he's not that concerned about what they're doing to us as much as how we're responding to what they're doing to us, right?
That's right.
So just, I want to encourage you. That means that if somebody is in place that God is actually using to be able to bring his people into place of captivity because they won't repent, but we can repent, and then he does not bring us into captivity, then let's just pray to the God whose heart, who's holding that man's heart,
That's right.
Yeah. And it gives you compassion, because I sure would hate to be that particular person that was being used at a time like that. You know what I'm saying? And you know, again and again, I mean, you see in history where, you know, God would use a foreign nation. He would use somebody who was against him to be able to discipline his people. And but when they finished that and Israel repented and they had their time, then he would just whack that whole nation and say, you should have never done that. It's like, but you wanted us. You told him, you know, you don't want to ever be used like that. And so you don't want to be a partner to the adversary of what's going on. So that's the word of wisdom today, that you want to make sure that that you're praying, your perspective for praying for those who are in authority. And for us, we want to pray for President Obama. You know, we want to pray for his wife. We want to pray for his daughters, which we do, you know, in the VFN family. But if you're listening today and you're just posting negative things and you're saying all stuff, you're never thinking about, wait a minute, God's holding his heart. I could talk to God and God could speak to him. I mean, he warned even Potiphar. You know, think about this. Here's God standing before before Pilate. He warned Pilate. Here's God standing before Pilate, Jesus, God in the flesh, Emmanuel. And God speaks to his wife, Pilate's wife, and says, you know, don't mess with this man. So she gets up and says, listen, the Lord just warned me. Don't mess with this man. Don't do this. And he didn't listen.
Right.
Word of wisdom there.
Yeah.
And that's when he let Jesus turn him over to be crucified right there. Listen, God is totally 100% in control. And we need to always focus on the one who holds men's heart in his hand. We'll be right back. Well, you think about, you know, abiding. I mean, talk to us, Steve. Talk to us about, you know, somebody out there, they're thinking about, oh, it's just so hard. And, you know, what do I do? I mean, what would you say to them?
It's just really simple. It's not hard. You're just being with Jesus. You're talking with him. You're reading his word. And you're just listening.
Right.
You're talking to him. He's talking to you. And it really is that simple.
How rapidly did your growth in God happen once you started abiding with him?
It was amazing.
Isn't it?
God just started pouring out himself, because he just says, you seek me, and I'm going to seek you.
He says, you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. You can find out more about that at iabide.org. You know, everybody really wants to abide. They want to hang out with God like John 15, Jesus tells us, but they just need a little simple plan to do that. You can find out at iabide.org. Just request your plan today. You know, when you think about the church, you know, and what the enemy has done, the mindset, the vocabulary, the first thing that God started doing with us is to recapture the vocabulary again of what God is actually saying. I mean, you can really mess things up by changing the meaning of words. You know, you could just change the meaning of it, and all of a sudden you've got things going in a different direction. And so we had to rediscover, you know, what is the church? And we found out that the church is not a building. You know, we like buildings. I got a couple of good friends that are buildings, you know, but the whole thing is that the church is people. You know, we're the building of God, that know ye not that Christ dwells in you. The hope of glory is inside of you. All these wonderful things that we talk about. But understanding this is that, you know, so when you begin to be the church and you're abiding with God and you're hearing him and you're operating in family, you know, you have brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers and the Lord and all this wonderful stuff. And it's just fun. You know, you look for a time to go there, but you still have, you know, things you're dealing with. You're still in the same storm everybody else is in. You're still in the same nation. You're still in the same workplace. You know, so you're having these pains and these struggles you're going through, and it's difficult, but yet it's encouraging that we have this. But, you know, John, I could only imagine how hard it is for somebody right now. If you're listening to us today and you don't have that relationship, I mean, you love Jesus, you know, you're born again, but you're in this whole, I don't know, the best way I can describe it is tradition, where, you know, men's philosophies and concepts and programs, and but you're not in family. I mean, you can call things family. I mean, so many people call things family, but you know what family is. You don't have to call it family. It just is. And he's called us to be the family of God. And if you're going through all the same stuff that we're going through, but you're doing it outside of family, Think about it. That's got to be horrific. I couldn't imagine. Well, actually, I could, because I remember what it was like when I was going through that without having what God has done with us today in regards to family. Yeah, I mean, you might have had somebody that's friended you on Facebook, but, you know, just friending somebody does not mean that they're a friend. I mean, you think about it. If you had a, I know this, John. Remember when we went to help out with the hurricanes that happened in New Orleans?
Right.
And, you know, it was just horrific what happened, and still have scars today inside of our heart for what happened. It was so bad, couldn't fix it. And the crux of it really was in Waveland that was flattened, and then the waters, you know, busted in New Orleans and flooded. But, you know, the church didn't know each other, and they were scattered all over the place, and they couldn't find the church because there was no authentic family type burdened relationship. So other parts of the church who didn't know the parts of the church come in and start helping everybody. But when we go back there, you remember when Pat and I had went back there to, the Lord sent us back to New Orleans, and we were talking to Leo DeJesus and Sandy, awesome man and woman of God. And Leo, if you're listening today, Sandy, if you're listening today, we love you. You guys are so encouraging to us. And he has this wonderful upper room in his house that overlooks the Mississippi, looking right on the city of New Orleans. It's the city he's in is Gretna. He's in Gretna, overlooking the Mississippi. And he said that, but the pastors left the church. They just left. The shepherds, they left, you know. And Jesus says that's a hireling. It's a hireling. But I have empathy, though, for a leader of a traditional situation because, you know, it goes both ways. You know, they don't have a relationship with you. You don't have a relationship with them. And the thing about family is you both have to invest.
That's right.
You know, but it's hard to do in that kind of setting. Well, I encourage you, if you haven't even thought about, you know, just walking out what God says in his word, that it's not foreign. It really is true. It's happening at the Vine Fellowship Network. It's actually happening. You can go to vfnfamily.org and find out more about it. You know, I want to encourage you that, you know, obviously VFN Radio is available for anybody in the world, as our listeners around the world are listening now. And throughout America. Also, that the VFN TV is available for anybody and everybody. But there's actually more available for those who subscribe for free. You can actually subscribe to VFN TV at vfntv.com, or you actually can text to subscribe, John. You text VFN TV, that's a V as in Victor, VFN TV to 22828. That's text VFN TV. 22828. And you do that, and it'll just walk you through a little small little process, and you're registered, you're ready to go, and you get back to teachings, this prophetic words, you know, some of the things that we're talking about now that's available for we want everybody to be able to get everything that the Lord is saying. But one of them is, you know, who are you calling good, which is very important, some of the teachings. Others is a prophetic words about what God's saying and teachings, because we've got to have perspective. It's not just to know the news, it's what to do about the news that you know.
That's
and
right.
So I want to encourage you today, if you have not yet become a subscriber, it's free. It's free. So, you know, subscribe at vfntv.com and click on subscribe. Or you can text to subscribe. Text VFNTV at 222-828. That's VFNTV to 222-828. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and Pat Hamilton's with me in the studios. We're talking about God's news behind the news. You know, we want to find out. We can talk about what God has to say in his word, but it's applicable. You know, it's what we're dealing with on a day-to-day basis. God has something to say about his creation. He has something to say about what's going on. He's not silent in the affairs of men. And it's not like you know, and this is what tradition has done today. Mm-hmm. It's like, we'll talk about God Sunday between, you know, 10 and 10:15. But right now I'm just trying to do business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right now I'm trying to prevent a war. And it's like, you have to understand he wants to walk with you 24/7 and all you right. to walk with him. He's got answers for everything, how to be a father and a mother mm-hmm. and how to respond to your parents and how, you know, how to be a wife and a husband and a business owner, how to respond to authority, how to be a president. I mean, the wisdom of God. When you hear about, you know, Abraham Lincoln, President Abraham Lincoln, that where other presidents bought in to what the strongholds were in the nation. He stood up for what was right. And he just said, I want to entrust, basically he said, I'm just going to just entrust all this with God. I'm just going to do what's right and let God work it out. And it was just pretty cool. But Syria right now, which is on northern borders of Israel, you have Lebanon and Syria, that's they're at civil war right now. They're fighting in civil war. And it's really, you know, Al-Qaeda and Iran and it's almost like the citizens are caught in between this. And it's a second heaven, Ephesians 6:12 right. battle going on. But this is like the hat of Israel. You know, imagine wearing a hat on your head. This is the top of Israel.
Yeah.
And you have our president partnering with Putin, you know, the president of Russia, to bring his battleships down into Gulf to be able to try to stop this, and which is the Gog and the Magog aspect of it. And in addition, there's Russian helicopters in the air. I mean, this is not good. This is not good. And this is what I want to mention this morning, and it's in the news this morning, that Syria is the biggest stockpiler of chemical weapons. They have the biggest stockpile in the world, it's reported, of chemical weapons, which are horrific. They've even used them on their own people.
Right.
When they were fighting against Iran, they used them against the Iranian soldiers. They had just, it was just sad. You know, like, and so, and Israel, as you know, you know, and just so you would know also as our listeners that, you know, they can reach every part of Israel with those chemicals.
Right.
They can reach every part of Israel with those chemicals. And the word is that if Assad feels like he's going to lose, and he's a leader over there right now, his dad led this way as a tyrant, and he's leading the same way, that they will move all those chemical weapons and bring them into Lebanon, which is right beside Syria and also on top of Israel. And then Hezbollah will have those chemical weapons, which are the ones firing thousands of missiles into Israel. And one year they fired thousands of missiles into this small country called Israel, and they have bomb shelters everywhere. But chemical war, I mean, it's the most gruesome thing, you know, that you can imagine. And right now, the biggest stockpiler of chemical weapons is on top, you know, the northern border of Israel. Russia's getting involved in there. We are kind of passive in our outward stance for them, not understanding, you know, the citizens there need our help. For some reason, this is really strange, and this is the reason why it's strange, because there's strategies going on, that President Mubarak, the president of Israel, you know, obviously we talked about that before, and you could find out about it, but, you know, the Muslim Brotherhood was banned in Egypt. Of course, our president came in, gave a speech at Cairo, invited the Muslim Brotherhood in, and now they're president of Israel. And it's strange, at the time they're trying to decide the election, that Mubarak is in a coma. They said he fell, you know, in prison. And it's like they're trying to snuff him out, it looks like. I mean, you would think in the natural sense. I have no, I'm just telling you what I know on my heart.
Right.
That when evil is practicing, they cannot have people in the know saying something. And who would be in the know but other than Mubarak?
Right.
And here this man, you know, he's in jail. He's got a life sentence now for being, you know, probably a tyrannical leader too. And all of us, he's like in some coma.
Right.
And they just said he fell.
Right.
You know, and this is all the way around Israel. And he said, in the word of God, lets us know that, you know, all those nations around you will be like a trembling cup. You know, all this stuff will be coming. And here are these chemical weapons on the northern borders of Israel. And we are not really getting involved in that. We didn't get involved in Iran. When Iran was going through the same thing that this, you know, Arab Spring that was going on, they went to the streets like every other country. And but they wrote our president and they said, hey, you know, you've said all this stuff, you know, for so long, America said this. Here we are. We're ready to do it. And he told America and the world that they didn't send any communication to him at all. Only later to report when it came out, they sent a letter saying, please help us. You know, please help us. And we didn't even respond to them. Well, Syria and Iran are partners. And Iran is the one that's funding all that Al-Qaeda and Hezbollah and all these different things. And so our president doesn't seem to be willing to go and deal with those who are against Israel. He could have done the same thing that he did. I mean, look at Libya, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, when I was in law enforcement and I saw, somebody going around taking people out, eventually they got caught and they were taken out.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You can't continue to just take lives over sovereign nations. It's like, my goodness, And now for some reason, they are not standing with Israel, against Iran. They didn't stand up for the people while they were being beat in the streets. I don't have a video of it. I could show you a video of it. But right in the middle of the streets, they just sat there and kicked this lady. They kicked her in the ribs. They just kicked her all over the place. And if anything, that's the way they're treating their people. And we're all about freedom and human rights and all that, but we did not respond to them or help them out. And now Syria, their partners and friends, here they are with all these chemical weapons. They're getting these funds from Iran. And they hate Israel as well and America. And we're just kind of inactive in these two key places that have two huge strongholds in regards to coming against our country.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you think that that our leadership is okay with that. Because if you'll go into Libya,
mm-hmm.
and you will take out Gaddafi,
mm-hmm.
Take him out. You'll participate and send your troops to the air support and take him out. And transition Libya, which is another surrounding the Persian, the Gulf,
mm-hmm.
that it just doesn't make sense why you wouldn't take out Iran situation or partner with them or take out Syria.
Mm-hmm.
And Israel right now is in a dangerous time. As a matter of fact, I was just talking to Avi today, and Avi Mizrahi in Tel Aviv, and he's going to be joining us on VFN Radio, getting the perspective of an Israeli that's sitting here. They're having dreams right now, Pat,
mm-hmm.
in Israel of planes flying over from Iran and dropping bombs on Tel Aviv and then flying back, in the prayer room and all that in Tel mm-hmm. Aviv as they're praying. God's beginning to show visions like that. So we got to pay attention that, mm-hmm. Whatever happens to Israel, whatever happens to the Jews, happens to the church.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? And we want to stand for Israel. We want to pray for Israel. If you haven't yet downloaded this application, it's called Pray for Israel. It'll remind you at noon every day, no matter what your time zone is, that you can, it'll just make a noise, make a sound, play music, and remind you of the culture there. And begin to just pray for Israel. If it's just simple, Lord bless Israel. Mm-hmm. You think about every hour that goes off and people can pray for Israel. So I'm looking forward, to Avi joining us. But realize right this moment, that's what's taking place in Syria. And if they said, this is what they're saying, if in fact it looks like Assad is going to lose his reign, he will shift that stockpile of chemical weapons to Lebanon, which is right there on top of Israel on the northern border. And now all the biggest stockpile of chemical weapons will be sitting on the northern boundaries of Israel. And you're looking at this too. You're looking at, at some point, America is going to get involved. Mm-hmm. We're going to have troops on the ground at some point, and if we pray for Israel now, God can intervene and we won't be in war there.
Mm-hmm.
But if we just sit back and do nothing while Israel's being threatened, you're going to be in a dust cloud soon if you're of that age to be drafted or cut a war and fighting a war right there, the very place that we're talking about. So I want to encourage you, pray for the peace of Israel. Pray this thing in Syria would stop, that King Assad would just stop what's going on. He would repent from all of this and he would step down for power. If that's what it is, I don't know what it's going to take up there. God knows. But who's going to take over is a big deal. Mm-hmm. Who's going to take over? It could be somebody worse. It could be the Muslim Brotherhood. They're taking over these other nations. We don't want the Muslim Brotherhood taking over any more nations that they're already taking over. So pray for the peace of Israel. That's God's news behind the news for the first hour. Coming to the end of the first hour. Join us in the second hour. Can you believe that it's already passed? Oh, my goodness. God bless you. For those that have to go on, don't forget to join us in just a moment for the extra hour. VFN Radio.